You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And a special welcome to all of you who are tuning in tonight for the very, very first time. Welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you. Have you been keeping up with the news out of NASA? Interesting stuff coming out of NASA. They first of all said, all those photos and stuff from the moon, we lost those tapes. We don't know where they are. Those were found over in Australia. And, it takes a special machine to be able to see those tapes, and we don't have those machines anymore. What happened was there was a point at which they were going to get rid of all those ancient machines that played those tapes. And so they just said, hey, anybody that wants this stuff can have it. Just get it out of here. And so a NASA employee named Nancy Evans, she was a former NASA planetary photo chief. She said, I'll take them. And so she took these big machines home and put them in her garage, and it filled up half the garage. Well, now that the tapes have been found, she's got the machines to play them on. And what they did, basically, is they robbed parts from first one machine and then another to put together a working machine. And they've been playing those tapes back. And she said, this is an incredible image. Actually, it was not she. It was Dennis Wingo, who is a private space entrepreneur that spearheaded this project. He said, this is an incredible image. In terms of raw resolution, there has been no mission that has flown since or even today that is as good. And so we may be treated to some really good, super high resolution photographs from the moon because a NASA employee realized and had actually better foresight than NASA itself and took those machines home and saved them until the day when they would be needed. Did you know that music actually is good for your heart? If you listen to music, and this is based on good, solid clinical research, music that you like actually increases your blood flow and decreases your blood pressure. Just listening to music. And it says compared to normal baseline measurements, blood vessel diameter increased 26% on average when the volunteers heard their joyful music, listening to music they liked. But listening to music they disliked, in most cases in this group, that was heavy metal for them, it narrowed the blood vessels by 6%. So listening to music that you enjoy listening to is good for your health. That might say something about, I don't know, a connection between consciousness and the physical. All right, we'll be back with my guest, Colonel X, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is he's known to some of you by the name Colonel X. And you maybe have been exposed to some of his work, some of his revelations under that moniker. However, he also is known as Ben Woods. Colonel X, or Ben Woods, is an independent UFO flight coordinator based in Nevada who works as an Air Force colonel within and outside the Nellis Test Range where Area 51 is located. And he is with us this evening. Colonel X, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Smith. I've been looking forward to going over some of the results of the work here, and it really makes me feel better the way in which the UFO community is accepting this new information. Now, I know your show has been around for a long time. I'm going to try not to waste your time here with hearsay or secondhand information. Not one single person I've sent the photos to said it was not the saucer, but everyone wants to get closer, bigger images, and we can talk about that in the discussion here.
All right, a couple of things. First, let me ask you, are you on a speakerphone?
No, this is just a regular cell phone.
All right, because we're getting an echo, but so now that I know you're not on a speakerphone, I know why we have an echo.
Okay.
All right, now, in your biographical information, it says that you are, and I quote, an independent UFO flight coordinator based in Nevada, and you work as an Air Force colonel within and outside the Nellis Test Range, where Area 51 is located. What is an independent UFO flight coordinator?
Well, that's just a handle I use when ufologists refer to some of the work here, and what that is what I actually have is access to the flight data that comes out of Grim Lake, and I'm able to coordinate with some researchers and get them some photographs by telling them where it is and when it will be there. So it's sort of a new handle, a new term in ufology that may be picking up this year.
All right. So just so we can establish for our audience, are you, in fact, a colonel in the United States Air Force?
Yes, I am. Now, before coming to Nevada, I was doing operations in Central America. Now, don't get me wrong, Mr. Smith. I attend church every Sunday. Every 4th of July, we sit with some of the families at Sunrise Mountain to watch the fireworks over the casinos. Every Memorial Day, I honored my country's veterans and displayed the flag on my door. But, you know, after being exposed to this alien craft in the U.S. airspace, I had to get someone to come out and have a look at it. I'm not betraying anyone. I don't feel like I am, but I don't think it should be here.
Okay. Now, you go by the name Colonel X.
That is correct.
Why do you use that instead of your name?
Why do I use that, Silly? Well, essentially, It was a moniker that was given to me by the UFO magazine editor. I had published a story with her, and she kind of dubbed me Colonel X, and I've been using that moniker ever since.
Okay, but you don't hide your name, do you?
The Ben Woods is an alias, but that's the name that I use whenever any of the articles or the photos come out, and the name I'm using on the air. I've been working in and around the Nellis Range and the Area 51 saucer for the past 17 months and have seen some of the scientists that study, and I'm here tonight to present what I have. Uh-huh. I'll let your visitors take a look at the new evidence, which we were able to sneak out of the Nellis Range where Area 51 is located, and if you would like to discuss a little bit about how we track it, when it is available, and who is working on it, we can do that. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime discussion, Mr. Smith. You have my personal email account and can get a hold of me any time after the program. I know the information you're about to hear tonight is a little extraordinary, and when I first sent you the photographs and introduced you to what we do, I said we only had a couple of weeks to do a program, so that was the window of opportunity I had at that time. But this is another week of free time I have. I'm also going public on a local radio show here in Vegas next Monday, and this is being done at the request of one of the project coordinators I'm working with. He's a real smart guy, and we can talk a little bit about him also later on. I would just like to take a minute here, Mr. Smith, to say hi to Robert Roseman and Nick Pope out in the U.K. Mr. Pope, Mr. Roseman, it's me, Colonel X, out here in Nevada. They didn't kill me yet. I know I disappeared from your radar last winter, but I'm releasing some new saucer images. We're doing it now. I'm going public with what I know.
All right. Now, you said earlier that Ben Woods is also an alias. Okay, so which do you prefer that I call you? Do you prefer that I use Ben Woods or Colonel X?
You, whatever makes you feel comfortable. I know that sometimes during the discussion you may want to use Colonel X, sometimes you may want to use Mr. Woods, Ben, whatever you feel comfortable with is fine with me.
Okay, now you've been disclosing information about some secret UFO test flights. What is your connection to that program? How do you know about that? And you touched on it earlier, but let's key in on that.
Well, my name, again, my alias that I'm going with when I do these publications is Ben Woods, and I was dubbed Colonel X by UFO magazine editor Nancy Burns after being featured last September on the cover for working secretly with the Disclosure Project outside Area 51. I'm a military in the know with access to the Area 51 saucer test dates and had supplied Dr. Greer with saucer flight data, which allowed the Disclosure Project team to capture a few images during a secret test flight. The Disclosure Project is one of the larger political organizations that is convinced the White House is hiding the extraterrestrials. They lobby the government to release documents and restricted technologies that would establish the existence of ETs. Dr. Greer is the founder and chair of the organization. I'm really not allowed to speak about the organization, but I can tell you they've done some fine work. The existence of ET is still a mystery. Now,
okay, but let me pause here and ask a question.
Well, sure.
All right. Now, what is it? Let's explain. You mentioned it, but let's explain again so everybody has it in their minds. What is it that has caused you to decide to disclose this information? And we're thankful that you're talking to us about it. But what made you decide to disclose this information about UFOs and to aid UFO researchers? What made you decide to do that?
Essentially, I'm an everyday Joe like everybody else. When I get off work, I do the things that most everyone else does, and having a saucer, what is it doing here is one of the big questions everyone asks. It could be abducting people. You hear these stories every day. And I think that by releasing information to some of these groups so that they can advance their research and their field of ufology, that maybe this place will they'll close it down.
Okay. Now, in your bio, I want to get this out of the way, and then we'll get into the material that you really want to talk about. But just, again, so that everyone knows where you're coming from, it says that your job has included arranging for high-level UFO researchers to take advantage of secret saucer test flight schedules, which come out of Area 51, and helping coordinate to help these researchers acquire images from the flight tests out of Groom Lake. Now, does that mean that you were assigned by the military or by some government agency to engage in the disclosure of this information?
That is a very good question. You are a very smart man, Mr. Smith. And I've never been asked that. I haven't had anyone that's actually been clever enough to ask that. But that is a very good question. And how I'm going to answer that is the world will want to know by the time this is all over, but what I am going to say for now is that I am volunteering this information. How does that sound?
Okay. Okay. I think I understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you talk about a saucer, you're not talking about a disc-shaped craft, are you?
That's exactly what we are talking about. We're talking about the disc. And I guess you're referring to what it looks like. Well, there are different types of saucers that have been reported. There's the cigar-shaped or rotating saucer, which is very popular. This one is a crescent. They don't test trash out here. It's one of the many people see and describe UFOs and report them as zigzagging, hovering, zooming across the sky at thousands of miles per hour. They'll say it's like nothing they've ever seen before. Flight at speed, physics can't explain, nothing like any fighter aircraft or commercial airliner. As a matter of fact, it was the absence of the rudder that drew America's attention to the incidents of 1947, the aircraft rudder, of course, being the moving part in the tail, which helps control flight speed and direction. Have you ever, just a question, have you ever seen a UFO, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I have. In fact, let me say, on our video feed, I have put the black and white pictures up that are on your website. And by the way, folks, there's a link right beside where the photograph should be, where we normally put a photograph of the guest, and it says no photo available. Right beside that is a link to Colonel X's website, and you'll see these photographs there on the website. Now, this basically looks like the heel of a shoe. And, you know, it's elliptical until you get to the back. I guess that's the back of it. And then we have a straight edge, sort of, across the back. Now, is this the craft, this photograph, is this the craft that we're talking about?
Yes, it is, sir.
All right. In one of these, we can see that at the corners at the back, it doesn't just go straight across it, but it actually, there is a rise upward at the corners. Is this craft?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. So your question was, what does the saucer they tested Area 51 look like? And you're pretty much getting into the physical characteristics. Now, according to the Blue Books reports from the Air Force, the saucer is from 1947. There had a cockpit canopy in the middle. It is a famous piece seen on the saucer depicted on posters, postcards, pictures showing a little alien waving through the glass of the bubble on top of the saucer. That's the cockpit canopy. Now, the rear of the craft is curved and pointed, and some say that's where the exhaust comes out. Now, Kenneth Arnold was the guy who first saw these things before the crash near Roswell. I guess he was in Seattle.
I can't remember, but yeah, he was in Washington
and
State.
Then there was a guy in Phoenix who took the photographs right before the crash. Both reported they were sort of flat, and the nose of the craft was rounded. Arnold didn't see any flight cockpit, but the man who took the photographs in Phoenix did. And this is sort of what it looks like. You got it right about on the noggin. It's a shoe heel. It's a craft that looks like the bottom of the shoe towards the back, that heel part. And you're on the right track. Go ahead.
All right. Now, this photograph that's on your site, you got several photographs. I'm looking at the, and my audience is looking at the black and white photographs of the close-up of the shoe heel formation. Okay. Now, you also have on your site photographs that were taken August the 11th, August 12th, where the craft is very high, and you can see that it's reflecting a lot of light. Now, a couple of questions about it. Is this a terrestrial-made craft that we're looking at, or is this extraterrestrial?
That is a good question. I don't know. It's one of the conclusions from one of the researchers. I'm not allowed to discuss their conclusions, but that is a good question. That was the one of the research result questions that they wanted me to answer, and one of the conditions that I put forth. I mean, of course I can answer questions. I've been around it for 17 months. There's questions I could answer for people, but one of the conditions I put down is I'm only going to say when you can find it and where. I'll provide some equipment so you can get a handle on it, but that's it from there. Anything else and anything you do is your business. But they do ask that. They did ask that. Is it terrestrial?
Well, let me ask this. Do you know, even though you can't answer that question, do you know the answer to that question?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, there's a lot of questions I would be able to answer, but I try and think for now during this year disclosure and as we get ready for the next test flight and I have a new researcher ready, I'm only going to provide where you can find it and when.
Okay. I have some sound bites that you provided, and do you want to go to those now, or do you want
to... Well, just go to the first one. It's the clip titled Alan Podovich Team at Kernowick Secret Saucer. It's only about a minute.
You didn't send me that one.
Were you able to download it off the site?
No. I have the one that you sent me is... The team is out watching, and there's a female speaking. Is that it?
Okay. Yeah,
that's it.
Do you want to? We can play that in a minute. I can go over just a little bit more information for you if you'd like before we play that.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes here before break. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first life test I was able to leak out last June was given to Dr. Greer. He was not able to get out here right away because it was sort of a surprise to him. So he had to organize a team to come out, but he was very enthusiastic. Back then it was being tested closer along the sheep range south of Groom Lake. That was about the middle of July. But after several weeks of going back and forth, he was able to get that team out for August 11th. And after the flight, they were very anxious to get a third test. And the two main questions that they asked, and I wanted to just draw your attention to those questions, was, is it manned or unmanned, and are there more like this or similar craft floating in the atmosphere that I was aware of or that I could turn their group on to? Just remember those two questions for later. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the photos on the YouTube site or whether you're going to the Kevin Smith site, this is the first photograph I'm aware of taken by a civilian or a military officer arranged days in advance for ufologists to be present during a UFO pass. So this is not really a UFO photo. It's an identified flying object because the researchers were told in advance what it was, where it was going to be, and where it was from. I just wanted you to know that before you go to the site. Anything you want to add?
No, other than I found the photographs that were taken by the researchers at the time, which I believe, the one August the 11th, that one is really very, very clear, though it's very high up. We are into a break. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Colonel X right after this. And welcome back. My guest this evening is Colonel X, and we are talking about some pretty amazing information about test flights of what you and I usually refer to either as a UFO or a flying saucer. Colonel, you were telling us that earlier that you arranged for particular ufologists to be at the right place at the right time where they could photograph and or videotape the test flight of this craft. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because this is covered in one of the sound bites, one of the clips, and I'll have a question about it. But the obviously, if it's being test flown, it is either being flown by a pilot in and on the craft, or it's being flown by remote control, by a pilot at a remote control console. So it's under our control, I would assume. And the test has to be, I mean, it would seem to me that there are specific things that they're looking for as they test fly it. And I don't expect that you would be able to tell us what those specific things are. But what I would like to know is, if you can tell us, is there any type of, how can I say this? There are rumors that these craft are under the control of people that don't necessarily answer upward all the way up the chain of command. Is that the case, or is this under the normal chain of command control?
Well, this particular item, it's the longer you work out there, the more of an idea of who you know who's in charge. And, of course, the issue comes across that I can provide more information of how I can move the ufology field ahead with this answers to these really sophisticated questions. And let's just say I know what is being tested. After hanging out and showing some of the other researchers, also catching on after seeing it for the second time, there's only one team I've taken out to see it second time. And you really have to see it more than once to know what's being tested. But you start to get an idea of what tested. And for something like that to be tested, there's only a couple of key people that can actually be in charge. But I'm going to let time, through time, I'm going to let that come out on its own. And, you know, there are many types of ufologists out there, by the way. There's some that are looking for the scientists that work in the program. There are ufologists who are looking for signed documents to track back to the industries that help the program. And there are even those that just want to see it. And there are some looking for contact. I can get you where and when it is going to be there, and we're here to discuss some of those things, and that's a very good question, though.
All right. Why don't we go to this first sound clip? And we'll...
Before this clip starts, I just want them to know that the people on the clip, those are the organizers that help chair the largest UFO group in Las Vegas. It's chaired by Alex Potovich, and those are the organizers that were sent out on the test flight. And what they are doing there is evaluating to determine if I was hoaxing them. They wanted to see it a second time to determine if I had arranged something for the first time and I was pulling their leg, and that is the clip, so go ahead.
Yeah, he's stationary right now. It doesn't look like he's flashing, changing colors, morphing into a different shape. Okay.
That's how to get good photos of them too. And I'll be taking a couple of photos as soon as the other two see it, and let me zoom back down first, and then we can ask them to come in.
Okay.
And I'll just let me know when you're done.
Okay. There he is. Okay, we saw him change shape a minute ago. Ron, what would you call that? Like a boomerang shape? Or was it just the magnification of the screen?
I was wondering if the car as you were moving the camera, so it was actually becoming elongated as the camera swept. So when it refocused, it went back into its original shape.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it actually changed shape.
Okay, we heard her talking about it doesn't seem to be moving, it doesn't seem to be morphing. So we have an indication that this thing can hover.
Yeah, that's one of the things that these guys, that this particular research group is catching on to. Now, the reason I've selected them to continue on with the next foster test date is because that particular visit was to determine if this was going to be worth their time to invest the money and the effort and to see if they would discover something. And what they're discovering is that it does hover. It's something that Dr. Greer's team had also seen, and that's why I've drawn your attention to what they wanted answered. And the question was, if I had knowledge of similar craft floating in the atmosphere that I was aware of, and the term that they were using was floating, that she is using was it's not moving, but I think the correct ufological term is hovering. And if you've ever seen it do that, whether you've been on your own or out to Area 51, wow, it is quite a sight.
Okay, what about other flight characteristics? And I'm not asking for technical information. I'm talking about just what people on the ground can observe. Did they have they observed it traveling at high rates of speed and making right-angle turns?
I have seen it do a high rate of speed once, and that is something else that's really kind of amazing. And but as far as they're concerned, the only thing that they have seen is some hover tests before it goes back into and across into the Nellis Air Force Range.
Attached, not physically, but attached command-wise to Nellis is a test range, a target range, called Indian Springs. And Indian Springs, we have been told by someone else, a former Air Force, contains a, at the end of the valley, a base that is inhabited by what he refers to as the tall white aliens. Is there anything associated with that base and this UFO?
That is a very good question, and it may come out later on. I had let something slip when I was talking to a UFO researcher, and he may drop some information later on, but I don't want to say anything. But yeah, it's very interesting that you brought up Indian Springs, and it may come out later, but that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, let's go to the second clip. And I apologize, I didn't have your volume turned up where you could hear that first clip. Here's the second clip.
Question here. What are they doing when they're just stationary? Are they just observing?
So the colonel doesn't tell me what kind of testing, but that is what they are doing. Somewhere on the ground is a military general that's watching it while it's being tested. I don't know any more than that.
Okay.
Right outside.
Somewhere on the ground, there is a military general that's watching it as it's being tested, and that's what I was referring to earlier. Obviously, if we have a general watching, this is something of extreme high importance.
Yes, go ahead.
All right, if we have a general watching personally instead of just taking the reports next day, then it's got to be something of extreme high importance, and being something of...
And there's a very special reason why that day is important, and go ahead and just remind me to tell you why that particular test has an issue with it, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, let's get into that now. Go ahead.
I've been discussing this since June with this particular project coordinator, and he had come out on August the 29th. And I took careful note that he had been working pretty hard at being able to attend something like this. And Alex, who chairs the organization, read the UFO Ranger and led expeditions on his own into the Area 51 region. Now, when he first sees it, I have a copy of what he was saying, and he sees it and wants to know, also, is it manned or unmanned? So it's a very popular question that seems to go around. So I get the feeling that this is what everyone wants answered, who's in it and what's inside it. And after that afternoon, he started getting really busy on getting his group ready for when it came around again, and that's essentially the clip that we're listening to. He wanted to get his group closer and use his own equipment. He's very enthusiastic about seeing it again and travel on short notice and was willing to invest in his own gear. This was all the stuff I was looking for, so I gave him another peek at it. And this particular test that we're listening to was a double test. And so I knew someone real big had to be in town because they were going to fly it on two consecutive afternoons, and that was on September 4th and September 5th. Now, Mr. Potovich was not quite ready with his gear because it had only been a week since he'd been out there. So when I told him about this, he was surprised, and I was also surprised at the frequency of the test for this part of the year. It was a back-to-back afternoon. So the first one I gave to Bill Burns' guy, and the second one was attended by the people that we're listening to now. He had sent them over to get some hands-on on what was going on, to be one of possibly their major projects, which is to track the Area 50 saucer on their own. All I would have to do is give them the information they'd be able to get it done on their own. Is there anything else you wanted to play from that clip?
No, I just played the parts that you told me. I just got the parts you told me to get in your email to me. There is one other clip you didn't tell me about. You didn't tell me to pull it out, but I thought it was interesting, and I'd like to play it.
Go ahead.
It's just her reaction to what she's seeing. Hang on. Here we go.
Okay, September 5, around about 1:30. We're here at secret location. Our guy today is Joe. He's trying to zoom in. We're going to find this UFO, hopefully. And Colonel X, if you have a chance to review this, we wanted to tell you once again how much we appreciate you stepping up to the plate for us and helping bring our dreams to fruition. Thank you. Say thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much. Here we go. I got a good image now on the computer screen. You can see it in the bottom right-hand corner. We're a little less than halfway.
Where's the pen? Let's point it out on the screen with the pen.
We have it right here.
Okay. I'm in for a close-up. Hey, Joe, do we have the coordinates on that, or we just look at looking?
Okay. What I wanted people to hear is that, her reaction is that, and I think this is important, they realize that this is a very special opportunity, and she's very appreciative of having that opportunity. It is a special opportunity because, we've seen all those pictures of the sign that says, no trespassing, fatal force will be used, and so forth. And this would be special. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Colonel X. One quick reminder, some of you are still sending email wanting to know where you can buy that DVD that we've been talking about, and I showed you some clips from it, called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs, where myself and Walter Bosley went up on South Mountain and looked for evidence that the ancient peoples who inhabited that area actually knew about these ley lines, although they wouldn't have called them that. And we found what we think is proof that they knew. And we've put it on a DVD for you. And they're not for sale. Not yet. The only way you can get one is if you make a donation of $20 or more to the show, and you do that by going over to kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says donate, $20 or more, and we'll send it to you. Now, I've only got six left. I burned 25 of those DVDs to start with. We've got six left, and if you want it, that's how you get it. Now, Colonel X, during that commercial break, I thought about something, and you may or may not know about this, but let me ask. I said that this craft sort of looks like the heel of a shoe. It's kind of shaped that way. There are in some very old paintings done by the masters, there are anomalous things in the skies in those paintings, and in one of them there is a craft that is shaped like the heel of a shoe, and it shows a little guy inside, and it's flying across the sky. Do you know about that painting, and have you seen that?
I've seen some of, that gets to one of the problems that I initially had with I don't get to do a lot of research from home and checking out the ET website because of actually my involvement with this, so it's something I try and keep the house clean of this stuff. I do get to see some stuff at Barnes & Noble on what some of the ufologists are publishing, but I don't get to see a lot. So I have seen stuff like that, but I'm not an authority.
I just thought it was an interesting thing. I just remembered that picture. Had I thought about it earlier, I would have grabbed a copy of it and put it up on our screen here, but I think a lot of people listening to me certainly know the picture I'm talking about.
Mr. Smith, I just wanted to interrupt. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to interrupt you. I think I only have about 10 minutes left because the charge on the phone is going. I know we tested some of the casino pay phones here using the studio line, but they were not suitable for broadcast quality. This is essentially not a cell phone with the contract. There are little alarms going off. But I just wanted to be aware of that, and I'm going to keep talking to you until it goes out. Do you remember us talking about this?
Yeah. Is there another, don't give it to me on the air, but is there another telephone number I can call you at?
Well, I don't know yet. How about if it goes out, I'll run down to the corner and see if I can get back in touch with you and we'll see with you. But what I wanted to tell you was, if you have a representative in Vegas, I know you're in Phoenix, if the friend or colleague who could help you out, get his contact information over to me, and I may be able to take him out on one of these flight tests. I have a list of project coordinators who all want to be the one to go out on the next test flight with the cameras. But I think I may be able to get you involved with this if you'd like. Now, when I take your contact out there, Mr. Smith, I just want to let you know that I may be able to get them closer because it is for the show. I may be able to get them some better images. The pictures and video we've been discussing have been collected at normal standard focus. I've used some other types of zoom before, but once you start releasing other types of information and images, it starts getting risky out here, if you know what I mean. But it's going to be an all-out fight to get out here. I just wanted, before anything gets cut off on us by accident, I just wanted to extend that opportunity to you.
Well, as a matter of fact, I may have just the person to come out and do that. And, so be sure. We'll be in touch by email. Now, if your phone goes dead, you know my telephone number. And if you can get to another phone, give me a call. And then if, we'll... I'll call you back if you need me to do that.
Okay,
now this whole thing about disclosure, this is kind of an interesting thing here. Is the U.S. government involved in starting disclosure now? There was this meeting at the United Nations February the 12th where they talked with other countries about the need to acclimate people to the idea that we are being contacted by extraterrestrial races. Is this underway now?
No, you hear a lot of stuff when you work out here. You hang out with some of the guys in the break room, and there's lots of jokes. There's people saying that we're making deals to exchange humans. There are other people saying we have a transmitter for the money. There's lots of rumors going around. You hear all kinds of things. But it's not a topic that you really want to hang out with, especially if you're, you know, trying to get a promotion or something. Because once they find out you're going out to Area 51 and you're in the service, it kind of gives you a black mark on your record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're not of the opinion, then, that disclosure is underway?
I have, like I said, I have, after hanging out here for a while, I you get to hear and you see things. And you, like I touched on earlier, that's a very interesting question, and it's funny that you asked that. You're in the ballpark of some type of area that's just not talked about, but you're in a ballpark somewhere.
Okay. Good enough. Now, the test flights, how long have these test flights been going on? You know, we heard that Area 51 was cleared of all of the... there you go. I guess the phone has died. Wow. Okay, well, I'm very hopeful that he will get back in touch with me and that we... we'll be able to continue. I do tell every guest that's coming on that I don't want to use cell phones because of this very thing. And also because a lot of people don't know, but, you know, a cell phone's a radio, and it's subject to interference by other signals. Even the lights in your house can interfere with your signal. And so I tell people we don't want to use cell phones. But in this case, I agreed that we would use a cell phone because the other phones that we tried, the other phone lines that that we tried before the show, just really had a lot of noise on them and really were not too suitable for doing the broadcast. So I hope that he's able to get to another phone and give me a call. And I certainly want to continue this, and I want to be able for you to be able to ask him questions. We are, let me see, how far are we? We're just, we're just a couple of minutes here from break, and so I tell you, when we come back from the break, we're going to open up the telephones for you. Even though at the moment we have lost contact with Colonel X, we hope to reestablish that contact. And if we do, then you'll be able to ask your questions of him. But I want to give you the opportunity to talk about it. I want to give you the opportunity to say what you think about what you've heard. And so when we come back on the after the top of the hour break, I will open the telephone lines for you so you can do that. The flash line, of course, is always open for those who live outside the United States or outside of Canada. If you live in Canada or the United States, we want you to use the telephone. But if you live outside of that area, you can use the flash line. And the flash message is really simple to do. All you do is you go over to my website. My website is kevinsmithshow.com. Just go over there, scroll down. You'll see a link that says, amazingly, flash message. And you can use that and send me a flash message with your question or your comment, and we'll read it on the air. Like I say, there's no guarantees that we're going to be able to get back in touch with Colonel X, but we're going to try, and I'm very hopeful that, in fact, he will call in and we'll be able to continue. Although I will tell you this, if he does, the audio quality is going to be significantly less than what we had because we've already tested the other available phone lines that he's got. And they're pretty fuzzy, but we'll use them, and we'll certainly get through and be able to ask him questions and make our comments. I think it's safe to say that we have heard some really amazing stuff here so far, and I want to hear what you think about it when we come back from this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our guest telephone apparently died. But don't go away, because I'm going to open up the telephone lines for you, because we want to hear from you. I know you want to ask questions of the guest. I know that you wish that were possible. It isn't, because he's not here. We lost connection with him, and that was due to his phone battery going dead. However, we do want to hear what your questions and comments are, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. I had to look because I forgot it. 602-539-9580, and I'll try not to forget again, all right? So give us a call, 602-539-9580. You've heard what Colonel X had to say. He has been out with researchers from the Disclosure Project. He's been out with researchers from UFO Magazine. So they've had a chance to take a look, and they've had a chance to vet him and to decide what they think. They apparently think he's the real thing, and he certainly has provided them with information about when these tests were going to take place and how they could, you know, where they should be and how they could photograph this and videotape it. So what do you think about this? Now, I asked the question, I wrote this down so that I would not forget, and I would get it exactly right. In his bio sheet, it says that, I'm trying to answer a telephone call, and it's not accepting my input to answer it. There we go. All right, caller, if you'll just hang on, I'll be with you in just a second. It says in his bio sheet that he is part of his job included the arranging for high-level UFO researchers to take advantage of secret saucer test flight schedules which come out of Area 51. And I asked this question, does that mean that you were assigned to engage in the disclosure of this information? His answer was a little interesting, but he said, I'm volunteering this information. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, I didn't have a question today. I had a comment on Colonel X.
Okay.
I think that he's an implant, and it's a big setup to go against everything that we're trying to get disclosed. And let me tell you why. If you ask any old person about technology and how things are revealed and stuff, they start out testing it, they put it in the air, and then they kind of reveal it. People usually spot it first and say, what's that? And then it comes out. My big example is the stealth bomber. There's lots of people all over New Mexico and all these different places that saw the triangle of three lights going over, and the government hadn't said anything about it, and so it was non-official. And then one day, here it comes rolling out, and they go, oh, well, that's what it was. Now, you can imagine that anything upgraded higher than stealth is just newer technology, and newer technology comes out all the time. My thing is this. Here's my point. My point is they're already seeing different things and stuff. They're about to roll out possibly one of these things that we see out of the millions. Well, which one are they rolling out? The one that's got technology most similar to ours? Which means they're not saying anything about actual aliens or any kind of life on another planet. So I think what they're doing is they're trying to play ball, put him out there, yeah, take pictures of it, this, that. They reveal it and say, hey, this is our newest technology that we have out there. But in the end, we'll never find out anything about the Roswell stuff, really. And I really honestly believe that they're putting this out there so they can act like they're like, this is the newest technology. Well, yeah, that's what you saw, and here it is. But I think they're doing that so they can take the whole focus off the fact that is it extraterrestrial or not, And I don't think that they'll ever disclose anything in my lifetime like about that. And if they do, it would be because a lot of people pushed for it and a lot of cool stuff happened, and I'd be really happy. But I think that if Colonel X is everything he say is, and it was anything against the government that they didn't want, that he'd turn up in a ditch like a day later. It's like, you know, I mean, that's national security and stuff. And the fact that he said that when he saw it, he was thinking about reporting it to the police, well, that's a downright lie, because if he's working on a military as a colonel and sees a UFO and stuff, he's not going to want to engage with police and stuff about, like, a UFO that's practically over Nellis Air Force Base from where he works. So I think that he's being told by the government to do this. They're putting it all out there. We're going to get all these great pictures. Things are going to roll out, and they're going to reveal not extraterrestrials, but the new stealth. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Bob, thanks for the comment. All right. Well, that's a possibility, I guess. And, of course, you know, that's somewhat what is behind my asking about, you know, were you assigned to make this disclosure? And is the government beginning disclosure? It's hard to know. I mean, you know, it really is. But we certainly can have our speculations and our opinions, and that's what we want to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, Kevin.
You know what? Although we're not able to ask Colonel X the questions, even though he's not here with us, you know what? This is why, he is why the Kevin Smith Show is the best UFO talk show on the planet.
Well, thank you.
Because of the information that we've been hearing tonight. And, of course, my question for him, it's kind of a flash message to you, since that hoping that you were going to get the question before he got kicked off the air. But I was hoping that he could answer the question whether these UFOs that he's talking about are based on Zeta Reticulum technology, or if they were Zeta Reticulum technology themselves.
Yeah, that would have been a good question.
Unfortunately, he's not here. I hope he is listening on Steel Eye Media Network, because I want him to answer that question if you can get a hold of him.
Yeah, well, there's no telephone number that I can call him at. All of the telephone numbers that I had for him are pay telephones, and they just didn't have the quality that we were looking for the show. In fact, it was just very difficult for me to understand what he was saying over those phones. If he calls in, he's back on the air. If he doesn't call in, I have no way to get in touch with him.
Well, you know,
so we're stuck.
Anyway.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, 602-539-9580. Is the number to call. I know some of you have been trying to get through. We got a lot of calls coming in. It's getting jammed up. But we want to get to your calls. And we certainly want you to be able to say what's on your mind. And so let's see. Let's go to this call. And this one is from the Phoenix area. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I've been getting my signal's been going in and out, so I don't know if you still got him back on the air or not.
No, we don't have him back on. I have no way to get in touch with him. All the numbers I had were for payphones.
Okay. Yeah, because I was curious. I'd like to have asked him a question. You know, we've all know this reverse alien technology has been around for quite a long time due to what's been seen at Area 51. And my question was, you know, what the hell are they ever going to use this technology for? You know, are they going to sit on it forever? Eventually, they got to pull this off the shelf and use it. And if they use it for military, space travel, or whatever, if they use it for military, we're all going to know about it at that time anyway. So there's going to have to come a day when they're going to pull it off the shelf, and we're going to find out about it. And when
well, maybe.
Day gonna come, because if they develop this technology, you know, they've developed it to use it. And when is that going to be?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, well, I just want to know your opinion. I was hoping to get, you know, his
Well, there's the possibility, Don, that we're never going to know about it. There's the possibility, and this is only speculation, and it's just hypothetical. There's the possibility that that is completely terrestrial in origin, and that all of this is a smokescreen to make us think it's extraterrestrial, and it's kind of how you hide the technology right out in the open that way. That's kind of what Bob was talking about when he called in from California.
If they hide it, you know, they're not going to be able to use it. Not in any conventional means, as far as, you know, usually when we think of the military developing things, we're thinking that they're developing them for military purposes. And if they develop for military purposes, then they're going to use them in a military situation. And then we find out about these things.
But
if we never find out, then that means they're actually never use them.
Yeah, when they show up in battle, everybody knows then.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Don, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care, Kevin.
All right. All right, let's go to the caller on hold. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Lincoln Parish.
Hello, Trey in Lincoln Parish.
Hey Kevin. Hey,
Louisiana.
I like it whenever you have these guys on here. That and it's obvious to me that they're like Sergeant Major Dean said, people let him do what he does because, you know, they could have stopped him a long time ago and, you know, told him, convinced him to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the fact that your show is the largest, you know, one of, if not the largest radio internet show there is, and plus it goes around to all these different countries. It's a good way to get out some information, get leaked, declassified, and bring it on your show. And you know, your show doesn't have the numbers that, you know, it will one day, but it's so, you know, you're not going to get it out to enough to where you're going to cause a panic, but enough to where you're going to inform some people. And so I think on here in the last 2 months. I think
be
you know,
somewhere
a lot
in the neighborhood of
sitting on here.
Hey Trey,
certain declassified stuff. You know.
Hi. Take a breath. It'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.8 million people.
Well. You know,
give or take a few hundred thousand, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So a lot of people are aware now that were not aware a few minutes ago of this information. And I think you're right. You're right about this. If they wanted to leak this information, this is one of the places to do it. It's not the only, but it's certainly one of the places. And it could be, and by the way, I think we need to consider this, it could be exactly as Colonel X has told us, that he felt like that this is something that we should actually not be involved in, and that's why he wanted to get the information out there. That's a possibility. It's a possibility, what Bob said from California, what Don said, possibility like what you're talking about. The point is we really don't know for sure, but I'm glad to get the information. I'm glad to hear it and see the photographs. And I think it certainly adds to the body of information that we have. It creates a lot of questions, too.
Oh yeah, I think we're not going to find out a lot of things that we would like to, and you know, until it doesn't really matter anymore, probably. So, you know, we'll never find out how all these, you know, all the top secret things. But it's some people, and I think it's probably because of you, Kevin, because you know just your background, and you know the questions you ask and everything. That's probably one of the reasons. You know, you're not the only one that gets it. I'm sure a lot of different shows get, you know, guys going on there with declassified stuff that they can now talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Kevin, hopefully you'll get more of these guys on there, and they'll tell us about this and that. I just don't think there's, you know, a lot of the information really gets boring. I mean, You know, would you really? Some people might. People who are interested in different types of airplanes might be interested in, you know, different shapes of craft and stuff like that. I'm not really interested in different shapes and stuff. I'm more interested in, you know, who's inside of it. You know, but
yeah,
so there's all kind of different.
Where did it come from? Who's flying it? Yeah, all that's important. All right, Trey, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. All right, folks, what do you think about it all? Telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, and we are most interested in your thoughts and comments. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Louie from Connecticut, Kevin.
Hi, Louie.
Yeah, Kevin, I go along with everybody saying, don't forget, we got a new president coming in, and maybe something's going to happen where this UFO, they call it UFO, maybe it's going to be seen like the stealth bomb. Maybe it's going to be used or something that we don't know yet.
So what do you think? You think this craft that we, let me put the picture back up on the screen, this craft we took a look at, you think that's our stuff, or do you think that's extraterrestrial?
No, I think it's our stuff, and I think it's going to be used in something very soon with the new president coming in. Just like they used the stealth bomber the first time in the Persian Gulf, I think this new technology is going to come out, whatever they're going to do with the new president. I really believe something's going to happen, and this is how they're going to do it. Something's going to happen when he gets inaugurated. And I don't know what kind of war it's going to be, but this plane is going to come up.
Well, we'll watch the skies and the calendar, and maybe you're right.
Yeah, you remember when Dick Griswold, early this year, said it all depends on who gets in. They may come out with a lot of stuff.
All right. Louis, I appreciate the call and the observations.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. It's easy. And I am in no way am I criticizing anybody, and I don't mean it that way at all. Believe me, not at all. But it's easy to think in sinister terms, even if this is truly disclosure taking place. So, I don't know. You know, what is it? Is it disclosure? I don't know. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, for some reason, we don't have... I put the caller online. Let's try to bring the caller online again, caller. Nope, they hung up. All right, well, give it a try again. Telephone number is 602-539-9580, and we want to know what you think. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
These cell phones are no good sometimes.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what to think about this. The photos and the craft match the description of the Roswell crash, but you know, that's all we really have is those photos. What I really think is going on is maybe they're getting paranoid about the Needles crash that happened. Because the last time on Coast to Coast, there was a former chief of police from the LAX airport and a couple other people that were on there that witnessed that crash. I think they're getting scared about that.
All right, now when did the Needles crash take place?
Well, I don't know the exact date of it, but I know that there were witnesses of that happened, and there were a lot of helicopters around. And
well, see if you can find out. Check that out, and let me explain something that the dates and times are important. Colonel X said that he first started making these disclosures in June. Okay. And so we need to find out if the Needles crash took – I've been reading about it, but I just hadn't noticed the dates and times. Did it take place before or after he started making these contacts with UFO researchers?
I guess I'll have to look that up because I honestly don't know.
Yeah, and even if...
I suppose that would tell me.
Yeah, even if the needles crash took place, that doesn't mean there's any linkage between the two. It would be
interesting. Well, I don't want to make any judgments yet on what's going on. This is kind of
our first blush here. This is our first exposure to this information. But I want to thank you for the call.
The Roswell witnesses described it as a wing-shaped craft. It wasn't really a saucer, and that's kind of what that looks like.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's ours or theirs, I don't know. But I really think that it's going to have to come out sometime. And I wanted to say that I really hope that Criswell's doing kind of had him in the back of my mind there because, he has just too much information. We can't afford to lose him. So.
Yeah, and the last report I had is the one I put on the air the other night, I think Friday night. He's recovering in a special hospital and was doing better, but was in pretty bad shape, but doing better. So,
well, the only question I have about him letting people come down and watch the test flights of some of these craft, if there's authority from above that have given this information, I kind of doubt that because that's the whole purpose of Area 51 is to block it from the public. And if you invite us, then you're inviting China, you're inviting...
Well, yeah, but I don't think, in fact, that he's not inviting people onto Area 51. That's not where they're going.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. We've heard from Colonel X, and we heard some pretty amazing things. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again. Just real quick, the needles crash was May 14th at 3 a.m.
May 14th. So that would have been before he started making these contacts. Okay, well, that's interesting. Thanks, Don. All right, 602-539-9580 is the number to call, and we will be more than happy to take your call at that number. All right, caller, you are live. Push the right buttons here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Nashville.
Okay, Mark from Nashport, Ohio. Do you want to hang on through the break? We have a break coming up in about 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. We'll be back with you right after the break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, more on the Colonel X story. Heard it here before it was heard on other radio stations, and that's just normal. We'll be back right after this. We're back, and let's go straight back to the telephone caller. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tell us again, and you're going to have to speak right into your phone. We've got a bad connection there, but tell us again your first name and where you're calling from.
It's Mark from Nashville, Ohio.
Okay, Mark.
Kevin, I'm going to have to play the role of the skeptic here. Your guest may be a colonel, but to me, he just does not come across as having the right kind of demeanor to be in a position like a colonel. If you listen to Colonel Wendell Stevens or Donald Ware or even Charles Hall, there's a certain level of technical competency that's demonstrated by their speech.
Okay, you're going to have to speak directly into your phone. You're getting it away from your mouth.
All right. To me, he's just not articulate enough to compel me to believe that he's a colonel. I had three basic questions for him that I wanted to ask him, but I guess I won't be getting those questions in. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw my 2 cents in there. Let me say this.
I have in every mission that I've done overseas, I had dealings with base commanders U.S. military base commanders and base commanders of other types of military bases, not U.S. And I've talked with lieutenant colonels and colonels who were base commanders, and they're all as different as you and I and everybody else. Some of them are like strictly military in their bearing, and then others, when once you get to know them and they're just talking, they sound just like civilians. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that, although I'm not stepping up to the plate and saying that I know for sure that he is a colonel. But I wouldn't put too much stock in the idea that, you know, he just didn't sound like a colonel, because I've talked with a general that didn't sound like military at all.
Well, you may be right. I guess time will tell, but he certainly doesn't sound like a Wendell Stevens or a Donald Ware to me. But I just thought I'd throw my two cents in tonight, and
sure.
It was an interesting show, and thanks for letting me on, Kevin.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to, I hope this person is on hold with us still. And caller, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Your first name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing? Yeah, I'm going to have to grow on the side a little skeptical because he's so vague. The only way, you know, I give it some validity is if he would come through with, you know, getting a team from you out there to see it. Or do you know that lady that was on them recordings?
He has published the names of the people, or some of the people that are in that group, on his website.
So yeah, it would be, if not, you know, corroboration from, you know, him coming through and showing, you know, taking somebody out there for you, or to get in touch with one of these other people to kind of back it up. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I don't know what to believe. He, especially because he says there's a colonel there, and you know, I don't care how many stars on your collar, you know, need to know, and that's the way they play the game. They don't really care.
Unless someone made a decision that there needs to be some disclosure, and I'm only speculating. It's pure speculation. It's not even speculation. It's just unless. If he was assigned to get this information out, if that's his assignment, then they would give him what information he needs to get these people together so they can see this test.
Yeah, it could be, I guess, because, you know, if they use somebody that really knew something that they wasn't willing to give up, you know, using somebody that's in the program to help bring it out, you know, they might be afraid that might slip up or something.
If you read everything that's on his site, you'll see that he was asked by some of these researchers that were out there, what kind of propulsion system does it have? And he says, I don't know. That's not information that I've been exposed to.
Did he give dimensions or anything on that? Because it looks like the Aurora, you know, I've been hearing about.
So you think this looks like the Aurora?
Yeah, I think you get that picture that I've seen of it is kind of, you know, pretty similar to that. The ones I've seen maybe are kind of a little longer, you know, but basically along that line.
Well, it might be. It might be. Hey, I appreciate the call.
Sure, thanks, Kevin.
All right. All right, folks, what do you think? We want to hear from you, and I'm going to get to some of the flash messages here in just a moment. I'll take another call or two before I read a flash message, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. So if you call, like, right now, we'll get you on. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin calling from Northern Alberta.
Okay, Kevin.
Yeah, this sort of reminds me of Bob Lazar back in the day. He used to take folks out to Area 51 on the edge there, and show them little shows of flying saucers flying around. And what happened to him? He went the way of the dodo.
Yeah, but why did he go the way of the dodo?
Well, because there was no evidence that he was claiming who he was. He said he had all these degrees at MIT and at another place, and he turned out to be a bit of a fraud.
Actually, he did not. I talked with George Knapp. George Knapp is a news anchorman out in Las Vegas. And George Knapp is the one that broke that story. And I asked him on the air, what about Bob Lazar? And he said, well, I'll tell you this. He said, you know, all this stuff came out about how they couldn't find any records that he was here and there and yonder. He said, you know, I went to the lab where he said he had been employed. They said that he had never been employed there. But he said, you know, I had a pay stub where they had paid him when he was an employee. And he said, I also found an internal telephone list where he's on there with an extension number. And he found some other things. He said, for his money, Lazar checked out and was exactly what he said and who he said. And they wiped most of his records clean, but they didn't get everything. And he found corroborating evidence that he was exactly who he said he was.
Very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it is quite possible for them to, for them, and I put that in quotes, it's quite possible for someone to wipe your records clean, and then you can't even prove you exist.
I suppose it is, yeah. That's very interesting. But as a full colonel, wouldn't this fellow be jeopardizing his career and could actually go up on treason charges?
Not treason. Not treason, but he... certainly, there are laws that apply to violating your oath of secrecy and your security clearance and so forth. And I would think that the answer to that is yes. If he were to be caught, and if this is not something he was assigned to do, then he would be in big trouble.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, I like to keep an open mind. It's just I don't like my brain to leak out. So, I got to be a little bit careful.
Well, we all have to, and I'm trying to consider all the angles, and you know me, I don't believe anything. I either know it, or I don't know it, or I say, I'm not sure yet. Let's keep investigating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All okay, right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. All right, I want to get to. We got a bunch of flash messages, and I've got to get to some of these. So let's start with how many of your. This is from Gordon in the United Kingdom. How many of your guests find you, or do you find them all? For instance, Colonel X. How did you hear about him? Someone familiar with this show recommended that he get in touch with me. Do I find all my guests? No. I am often contacted by publishers, publicists, or by the person themselves. Many guests on this show are recommended to me by you, the listeners. But in this case, Colonel X contacted me first, having been recommended by someone that he mentioned on the show tonight. Jim writes, help, I can't listen to the show because I can't get the player to work. I'm going through Kevin Smith's show withdrawal. All right. I recommend that you stop using Firefox if that's what you're using. It's quirky. It's a moving target. It always changes. And I recommend you use a stable browser. Justin from Australia says, hi, Kevin, does your guest know about Charles Hall? Is Charles Hall's information correct, and can he tell us any more about the Tall Whites? I asked about that. I didn't use Charles Hall's name, but I used the information. I asked about that, and he said, well, it's interesting that you ask about Indian Springs, and all of that will come out in the future. This one doesn't give me a name, says it's from Afghanistan. And normally I would not read this because if you don't give me your name, why should I give you information? However, it says Colonel X's telephone is not clear. Can you make his line clearer? No, I cannot. I can't do anything about the other people's telephone line. That's not the first time I've gotten a request like that. I know how to do a lot of things, but magic's not one of them. Tim from the United Kingdom writes, I discovered the Kevin Smith Show only recently and just want to say thank you on what has become a regular listening. On a guest point of view, what are the chances of David Sereda being a guest on the Kevin Smith Show? The answer to that is excellent. He's been with us before, and I am quite certain will be with us again. Very quickly, that one I won't read from allegedly the United Kingdom because there's no name. Phil in Australia says, is it possible you're part of Disclosure? Perhaps not even consciously. Yeah, it's possible that this show is being used for Disclosure. It is also possible that it's being used for disinformation. We've talked about that before. When we hear the information, I'm hearing it for the first time as you are. And so when we hear about this, we just hear it. And then we have to ask questions. We have to think. We have to think critically. And we have a break coming up, so I won't be able to comment on that much more. But, yeah, that's possible. It's possible that the show's been chosen to be used for some disclosure or for disinformation. Keep that in mind. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have, this has been a very, very interesting night. And, one of the things that you don't know is that right at the beginning, as the show introduction was playing, we had Colonel X on the phone. He could hear the introduction being played and so forth. As the introduction is playing, the line goes dead. We're disconnected. So I called him back, got him on the line. He was there with us. And then at 1 hour into the show, bang, that was it. The phone's disconnected. So, I left the line open where he could call me back. And I don't in any way assign anything nefarious to the fact that he didn't call me back. You don't know what the circumstances may be, where he is, but he didn't call back. But we had that little drama right at the beginning, and then the phone being disconnected right at the 1 hour mark. The flash messages that I read to you, I got several that, and it didn't ask questions, but said things like, basically they didn't buy Colonel X, and they thought that it was not genuine. Apparently, and I didn't read those because they didn't use their name. If you don't use a name, why should I give you radio time? Okay? You tell me your name and where you're from, and we'll communicate like real adults. All right. Now, apparently, Colonel X is who he claims to be. And look, don't put too much weight on this. I'm just sort of thinking along these lines here, out loud. Apparently, he must be who he claims to be. Dr. Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project have been out and they've met with him. They've been to the places that he said to go at the time he said to go, where they photographed the craft in flight. Not only the Disclosure Project, but UFO Magazine, and also the UFO Investigator Group in Las Vegas has been out there with him. And so they've had a chance to meet him face-to-face. Now, I am not vouching. I'm simply giving you the information that I've got, okay? You understand that. But I think that, you know, especially with the Disclosure Project, I think probably if it was a fraud, if he was a fraud, I think they would have backed away from this information and backed away from the whole situation. Because they are full, Disclosure Project is literally filled with people who are military, ex-military. They know how to vet someone's credentials if they are claiming that, for instance, to be a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. So while I'm not vouching, I am saying I think he probably is, in fact, a colonel with the United States Air Force. I think he is what he claims to be. Now the question, and this is a question I ask. This is not something where I'm sneaking up on him now after he's off the air. I ask this question, and that is based on what's in his biographical information. It says, and I'm quoting from his biographical information. Let me make sure the telephone line. Yeah, the telephone line is open. I have time for one call. But it says his job has, and I'm quoting, his job has included arranging for high-level UFO researchers to take advantage of secret saucer test flight schedules, which come out of Area 51, and helping to coordinate to help these researchers acquire images from the flight tests out of Groom Lake. So I ask this question. Does that mean, and again I'm quoting from the question that I asked, does that mean you were assigned to engage in the disclosure of this information? So I think he probably is what he claims to be. He's probably a colonel with the U.S. Air Force. But the question then still remains, doesn't it? Is this disclosure, is this on purpose? Is this happening on purpose? And if it is, then the next question is this craft alien or terrestrial? I ask that question as well. And, you know, if this craft is terrestrial, then the next question is it reverse engineered or is it our stuff, start to finish, being sort of hidden in plain sight, so to speak? The Colonel X said that he was not able to answer those questions. And when I asked about whether it was terrestrial or extraterrestrial, he was not able to answer that question. And I said, okay, I understand that, you know, there are certain things you can't talk about. But then let me ask this. Do you know whether it's terrestrial or extraterrestrial? He also was a bit evasive about that. Now, I'm not criticizing that. You must understand that if he is who he says he is, and if this is not part of his, even if it is part of his assignment, if it is part of his assignment, then he's been told what he can talk about and what he can't talk about. If it's not part of his assignment, fear determines what he can and cannot talk about. It may turn out that Colonel X is not a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. That's always a possibility. But like I say, considering the type of people who have been involved face-to-face with him, considering who they are and their experience in vetting information like that, I think the likelihood is pretty good that he is probably a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. Or at least, I think I don't know that he's a colonel, but I think there is the possibility, and a pretty strong one, that he is U.S. Air Force, and that he's been told to get this information out. I think that's a possibility. Although he did not say that. That's my speculation. Now, in the few minutes that remain, in the 1 or 2 minutes that remain, just remember, every show like this show, of course you expect me to say there's no show like this show, but there are shows in this genre, and each and every one of them is a target for either disclosure or disinformation, and maybe both. Sometimes with disclosure comes some disinformation. So you have to keep that in mind, and this is why I say do critical thinking, and you do a good job of it, as is evidenced by your questions and by your comments. Do some critical thinking. That doesn't mean that we just discount everything and we're professional skeptics. It means that we ask critical, cogent, precise, incisive questions. And you do an excellent job of it. Thanks for being with me. You're going to love tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel-Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.